Yes, I'll have the Ticker Stopper hamburger, please. Buttered bun, inch of cheese, and the Scotch Bonnet pepper relish thing. Thank you very much. No pink, medium. No pink. Stuff's bad for you. Hi, folks. James Lalix here at the diner. The old diner out on Highway 23. Old Highway 23. Sitting at the long boomerang pattern formica counter, thinking I'm about 17 and a half years from where I need to be, since I'm traveling, as we all know now, through an interminable number of incrementally different universes, trying to find my way home. When last we spoke, I was at a place, it gives me chills to think about it. I had an electric car, and the diner was all vegetarian. I didn't spend any time there. I'm not here to report back about my week in vegetarian land, because I just got right back in the phone booth, dialed the number, 555-1212, and went here, where I am now, because if the point of this is to get home, obviously, a diner that is vegetarian is not home. That's not my universe. I live in a civilized place. A place full of meat. Now, if you are a vegetarian, I don't care. Good for you. Glad you enjoy it. Personally, I don't know why anybody would want to engage in that form of gustatory celibacy as a choice, but there are ethical reasons. I understand. Doesn't make you a better person, just makes you a different person. A lot of people confuse the two sometimes. But again, I don't care. It's amusing to me, though, because we had an episode of incipient vegetarianism at our house before I left on this journey. I had purchased an Instant Pot. You've heard of these things, no doubt. They're all the rage. Everybody loves them. They have fan pages on the internet. But, you know, of course, so does bubonic plague, probably. And even then, it would split into two camps between the people who liked the armpit buboes and the people who were really into the neck buboes. And they would fight and they'd form flame worms. Anyway, Instant Pots, there are cookbooks for them. There are just, you know, support groups for people whose Instant Pots have temporarily gone in the fridge. It's just this big thing. So I got one because it had been a while since we purchased an electronic kitchen appliance that would then go in a cupboard and not be used for 9 months. There are appliances in there that I discover when I'm looking for something else. Oh, we have that sandwich griller thing. And then we'll take it out and we'll grill a sandwich, and then it'll go back in and it will not be discovered until I'm looking for something else and go past the sandwich maker and say, we got a waffle iron. We got a Belgian waffle iron. And then we'll have two or three or four Belgian waffles and back it goes. Well, the Instant Pot was not going to be this. First of all, it's too damned big to be put in the back of anything. It's huge. It's like the diameter of one of those shells they loaded into Big Bertha in World War II artillery battles. It's enormous. And let me tell you, here's the thing. It's called the Instant Pot. What is it? It's a slow cooker. You may see there's some sort of tension and conflict between the two ideas, between being an Instant Pot and a slow cooker. But apparently it has some other attributes to it. It's a pressure cooker as well, which terrifies me, because I'm not terrified by most things in the kitchen. I can deal with flame, electricity, third-degree burns, grease fires. But there's something about highly pressurized canisters sitting on the counter that makes me think that if I do something wrong, I'm going to come home and there's going to be a hole in the side of the house. It makes rice, which is great, because that always stymied me before. It makes yogurt. That's one of the things I found fascinating about it. It has a whole series of settings for making yogurt, which is great, because how many times have you gone to the store specifically to buy yogurt, and the line's just around the block with people with that grim face that you saw in a Soviet queue in the old pictures? Is there yogurt today? No, there's no yogurt today. Come back tomorrow at 7. And if you do, then the yogurt's sold out by 7:30, because there's only so much. So you can deal with the nation's chronic yogurt shortfalls by buying an Instant Pot. So wife and daughter are looking through the recipe book that comes with it, because they always have to have recipe. There's the manual for this thing is about 147 pages thick. There's 5 pages in English, and then there's 5 pages in Chinese, and then there's 5 pages in Thai. It just goes on and on and on. And they were looking through the recipe sections, and there was one that they liked. Red lentil chili. Okay, now the word there that works for me is chili. and after that, red. It's the lentil part that I'm thinking we can swap that out, can't we? I mean, I had a chili at somebody's house the other day. It was actually an outdoor party. It was only about 20 below, it was 10 above, and we had bonfires going out and lots of aquavit and cookies and various things to keep you warm. And there was a chili. There was a chili that had chicken and green chilies of some sort and lots of corn. I mean, lots of corn. I mean, like bushels of corn. It came to the point where I don't know how you could really call something this corn-centric chili. I just didn't. It wasn't even hot enough. It was just basically corn wannabe chili that was trying to say, you're really going to like this. It's going to be good and spicy and delicious because we're calling it chili, even though basically it's a bowl of green corn. So I'm not a purist about these things, but there has to be some basics, right? And so lentils, well, that's interesting. My wife said, do we have any? As a matter of fact, we did. Because I think about a year or so ago, daughter got it into her head that she wanted to make some red lentil soup or something. And so we went to the co-op, God help me, and bought this stuff with an old-timey label on it and some guy with a beard standing out in a field somewhere in a straw hat waving, Uncle John's red lentils. And we used a little of them. Then I put them down in the stocks in the emergency apocalypse area where this is the stuff we'll get to after all the good canned food is gone. We know we can always fall back on lentils to keep us from dying in that last difficult week before everything finally goes. So I bring up the lentils from the basement, which sounds like some sort of figure of speech, doesn't it? How's your day been going, man? I've been bringing lentils up from the basement, one after the other. Oh, I hear you, man. So I bring up the lentils from the basement and ask what else is going into this. Water, good, some water. Chili spices, chili powder, yes. How much? Well, the recipe calls for, I don't know, 3 grains for every pound of lentils or something. Why don't you double that? And then I said, is there a meat component to this? At which point, daughter becomes a little bit annoyed. She goes, no, it's vegetarian chili. I said, well, okay, well then just don't eat the meat. I mean, put the meat in, but you don't have to eat it. And she, of course, realized that her father is irredeemable at this point. Because it can't be vegetarian if there's been meat in it at some point. Or even if there's meat in it now, and you eat the parts that aren't touching the meat, it's still contaminated. If you walk up to the meal while it's cooking and shout, sirloin, you know, or just, you know, walk around the kitchen saying, ground chuck, bacon, pork shoulders, ribs at the top of your lungs, that somehow will make the meal non-vegetarian. You have to have a pure mind and a pure heart for it to be truly so. Well, my wife realizing, of course, that I probably wouldn't eat it unless it had meat. And she was wrong, by the way. It was I would have eaten it if it was just lentils and chili powder and water. Just don't call it chili, all right? Because that ain't chili. That's just hot lentil mush. She bought some cubes of cow and threw them in, and I enjoyed it. It was great. I had it the next day as well. The fun part, though, was that the Instant Pot instantly took 5 hours to make this stuff. Now, that process, I'm sure, infused all of the lentils with the wonderful flavor of the chili powder and the meat. But still, I wouldn't say it was exactly instantaneous, this pot. The good thing, though, is that it's huge, as I mentioned before. So should I make yogurt, I think I can make probably about 8 gallons of yogurt at a time. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I could go out and smear it on the trees or something. I'm sure the woodland creatures that are out and about would love it. It would freeze, actually. It'd be cute. You'd see all these squirrels, desperate, hungry, ribby, skinny, clinging to the trees with their claws dug into the frozen yogurt as they lapped it up or tried to lap it up with their little inefficient tongues, probably reduced to cracking it open with their teeth. Because that's the life of a squirrel around this time of the year. Using your teeth, which themselves are full of raw exposed nerve endings, to chip into frozen yogurt that somehow has appeared so you don't die before next week. Oh. See, I wouldn't be thinking, I would not have come to grim thoughts like that if we'd been talking about the joys of hamburgers. my hamburger's coming. I can see it comes by ticker stopper. Yay! Hurrah! Well, while I prepare the condiments and get out the ketchup and the mustard, yellow mustard, thank you very much, not any of that fancy French ground seed stuff, and pepper and salt. No mayo, that's going a little bit too far with the ticker stopper. I think when you get the buttered bun and the inch of cheese, I think mayo's a tad on the superfluous side. I wonder if my Instant Pot makes mayo. I bet I can go home and make 4 gallons of mayo. That'd be wonderful. Because then in the summertime, if you wanted, you could just cover yourself up in mayo and go outside, and there'd be so many flies, you would probably levitate. The flies would just get all over you to get the mayo, and you would probably be able to just... Nobody's ever come up with a flying suit made out of mayo and fruit flies, have they? Well, I'll put that on my list of things to do after I get home. All right, let's hit the jukebox here, shall we? Let's go straight to A1 while I eat my delicious, juicy, miraculous gift from the gods, ticker stopper hamburger. Why tune when you can just play?
Now, if you want something that's good and hot, just eat a hamburger, it'll hit the spot. You can see them on the griddle going flippity-flop. Makes you want to do the boogie to the hamburger hop. They're open up 24 hours a day, just waiting and hoping all the folks will say, put a burger on the griddle, do a flippity-flop. Put an onion in the middle and a pickle on top. There just ain't nothing finer, nothing that's quite so new. Then jigging it with them to the sizzling rhythm like the burgers always do. You really should go, cause it swept the land, and everybody's going to the hamburger stand. When they put them on the griddle, do a flippity-flop, everybody does the boogie to the hamburger hop.
Bit on a piece of bone. Damn it. Oh. Chip the tooth. Try a little cold water here, see if it hit a nerve. Oh! Ow! Oh, God.
Hey, if you want something that's good, just eat a hamburger, it'll hit the spot. You can see them on the griddle going flippity-flop. Makes you want to do the boogie to the hamburger hop. They're open up 24 hours a day, just waiting and hoping all the folks will say, put a burger on the griddle, do a flippity-flop. Put an onion in the middle and a pickle on top. There just ain't nothing finer, nothing that's quite so new, than jigging it with them to the sizzling rhythm like the burgers always do. Really should go, cause it swept the land. Everybody's going to the hamburger stand. When they put them on the griddle, do a flippity-flop. Everybody does the boogie to the hamburger hop.
Yep. Yeah, I chipped a molar. And it's sharp. So, of course, my tongue can't stop wording it. So my tongue is going to be sore now, and I'm just going to have a head of minor nagging pain. Great, great. I'm going to have to get this taken care of. Problem is, of course, I'm in an incrementally different universe, so I'm thinking any dentist I find is pretty much going to be out of network. Go to the drugstore for some over-the-counter nostrums, perhaps. What's that stuff? Orajel? Yeah, I used to carry that around. It works on minor tooth pain for a while. Doesn't really replace going to the dentist on a regular basis, although perhaps some people use it for that. It's mostly clove, if I remember the ingredients. It stems from the day when dentistry consisted entirely of clove and pliers. No, and a string and a doorknob. That one, too. That old famous thing. Clove, pliers, strings, doorknobs. Oh, and Whiskey Frontier. Give somebody some rye and then tell them to bite down on this. No, that wouldn't work. No, you can't tell somebody to bite down on something when you're pulling a tooth. What did they bite down for? Sawing off limbs. Right. Okay. Well, the good old days, eh? So I'm going to have to find something. But, oh, man. I wish I was home. I got a great dentist back home. And how do I know, incidentally, because this place looks pretty ordinary, how do I know that I'm not back in my home, incrementally different, which wouldn't be different universe? When I get out of the phone after I've dialed the magic number 555-1212, my phone does not light up with messages. See, when I get home, I imagine that my phone is going to connect to the network, and it's going to be full of messages. And I mean, here, my apps, they don't work, right? Their Twitter doesn't work. It's Chitter or something like that. And it's, you know, same thing, same arguments. President Trump is, yes, President Trump is President Trump here. It's not my world. It's not my people. I don't know who any of these people are. So I know that when I get back, it's going to be great because I'll look and I'll have like 17,000 messages on Twitter to read. That'll be great. I'm just going to scroll to the top and then start from fresh. All right, I'm going to ask him for some ice because that's the cliched thing to do, isn't it? You get some ice in a bag and you put it on the side of your head and somehow the coldness goes through your cheek and into the tooth, which is hurting, and it's numbed and you're all better. So I'm going to go get that in the meantime. Ouch. Here's a word from some of our sponsors.
And in a rush to clean your teeth, do you really brush or do you just protect your zombie taste like instant action right away? Even if you brush in a rush, crisp fluoride toothpaste.
You should brush your teeth thoroughly, but when you have to brush in a rush, Brisk fluoride toothpaste starts instant action against tooth decay, helps strengthen tooth enamel on contact, instantly destroys most bacteria that cause mouth odor and decay.
Even if you brush in a rush, Brisk fluoride toothpaste.
Billy Brown, the smoothest, coolest guy in town. The chicks all seem to dig his jive.
Hey, tell us, Bill, how can we arrive?
It's easy, Jack. Any gal gets sent when you flash a smile by Pepsodent.
You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent.
Pepsodent's new improved formula cleans teeth whiter than ever. Tastes brighter, too. New formula Pepsodent contains IMP. There's nothing else as good at getting teeth white.
You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent.
All the ice is just making my face cold. I'm in Minnesota. I don't need... Really, I'm in Minnesota. If you have a sore tooth, why don't you just walk outside? That ought to do it. That's more cold you're going to get from a pack of ice. Maybe I should put a steak on it, huh? No, you're right. That's just for boxing. See, remember in the old boxing movies, there'd be somebody after a fight in the dressing room and he'd cauliflower nose. Where's a cauliflower ear? Broccoli nose, cauliflower... Nose like a ripe tomato... Ear like a cauliflower, eye bruised like an eggplant, and they'd slap a beefsteak on that. That was their medicine. Apparently it drew the swelling, and apparently it was efficacious, or it wouldn't have been used, I guess, but you just, these days, you never see somebody who's been hit by a car, and the paramedics come, and they jump out, and they instantly start unpacking steaks, and putting them all over the injured parts of the body. Now, I'm thinking that I could take a small piece of steak and put it in the next to the tooth, which would somehow get the swelling of the irritated gum down. The gum's only irritated because my tongue can't stop hurting it. But that doesn't work. So maybe I could order some Omaha steaks, which come frozen. And then I could put the frozen steak up to my face and look like a complete idiot. Well, it doesn't hurt so much anymore, which is good. But I'm still not happy. Well, no one is happy about impending dental work, but you know what I love about going to the dentist? Leaving the dentist, because you get that bag that has the cheapest toothbrush ever made in it. And you look at this and you say, What is it? Obviously, I have a toothbrush. Obviously, I've been using it. I mean, yeah, that didn't go completely well back there, but I mean, I wasn't here for a full upper and lower extraction, so I am brushing. And I got a better one than this. It's got stiff bristles. It's got an angle. It goes bzzz like that. So what is this thing? The toothbrush they give you when you leave the dentist is like the toothbrush you get from the airline when your flight is canceled and you have to stay overnight somewhere, and they give you a little toiletries kit. And it's the worst toothbrush because they know that the next time you have to make an airline reservation, the quality of the toothbrush will not be in the top 7 reasons that you choose or do not choose that airline, period. And then, of course, they give you the floss, which I always take because it's like, thank you very much. I'm planning on, you know, lassoing some crickets later. This will come in handy. So I think I have time for one more song, shall we? Let's take a look at the jukebox and go to, let's go way back to, let's play a B-side. Let's go to T2.
Hey gang, get ready for some fun. Listen, you must all agree that Woody eats his popcorn with glee. So this is your way to lure me out of a tree.
What?
Now, this you must do.
No.
To pop the corn, you butter a pan. Put the corn in the pan and pop it as fast as you can.
What the hell? Oh.
Please pass the popcorn to me.
Oh, that reminds me of how it feels like when you get a hole stuck in your gum and it gets inflamed, and then you have to go put some Orajel on it, but you don't have any, so you have to get out the clothes and crush them in a mortar and pestle and add Vaseline and smear that on, and oh, man. No more popcorn for a while. No more ice cream for a while. Nothing but smoothies.
How about that? Let's try it again. You must all agree.
I am under no obligation to do so.
That Woody eats his popcorn with glee. So, this is your way to lure me out of a tree.
What are you telling me how to get you out of a tree?
Now, this you must do.
You have no authority to insist I do
that.
To pop
the corn, you butter a pan. Put the corn in the pan and pop it as fast as you can. Please pass the popcorn to me.
Recognize that song? That's by Cole Porter. Of course, I knew that from somewhere. What was the movie I saw that in? Of course, when Cole Porter sang it, it was much different. It was pithy and witty and cutting and wry and ironic and fey and all those things. That's how much when Woody did it. What movie is that from? Because I can see in my mind, I can see Cole Porter wearing white tails. And, you know, other clothing as well. Sitting at a white piano in a white room with a white candelabra and white people in white silk evening clothes. What was that? Is that the Monochrome Follies of 38? Or was it the Monochrome Follies of 37? I don't know. I'll have to check TCM if they have that in this IDU. Which they may not. I don't intend on sticking around long enough to find out. But we'll tell you this. I should probably play you another song, should I? Because that was short. Blissfully short. I just want something to take my mind off the fact that not only did I break my tooth, but I'm mad at hamburgers. I don't trust them anymore. I mean, this will pass, believe me. But it's just like, this happened to me once before with a hot dog, if you can believe that. I know, a bone fragment in a hot dog. I mean... We don't know what's in them, do we? I mean, because there's hot dogs and there's all beef hot dogs. They don't need to make all beef hot dogs because we sort of kind of thought in the first place that hot dogs themselves were, you know, meat generally. But when they say all beef, they're telling you that other hot dog there, buddy, that's everything they could scrape off the abattoir floor. Okay, so we accept that, but we assume that that meat is then converted through some industrial grinding process into a pink slurry that's then forced through some sort of screen, like a filter, like they have in the Andromeda Strain, where they wanted to trap a virus, you know, 1 micron between the meshes, and that a bone would not get through, but a bone did get through. And I remember just feeling like the whole premise of a hot dog had somehow been transduced by a bone in it. And now I'm feeling the same way about hamburgers, damn it. Well, this will pass, I suppose. All right, one last song here. Let's go to K1. yeah, someone's about to sin in the 50s.
I was rolling down the highway when a town came in view. I need a cup of coffee and a hamburger or two. I pulled up to the building, got out and went in. What I saw made my mind spin.
What a great story song we have.
It was my hamburger baby with a smile on her face. I didn't notice anyone else in the place. She got out a pencil and a pad. The way she threw her hand nearly drove me mad. My hamburger baby, let me be the one to sweep you off your feet. We'll have so much fun.
Wait a minute, I just realized something. If I inhabit the body of the person who's in this incrementally different universe, that means when I go to another place, my tooth will be fine. And I'm leaving the guy behind here to all of a sudden realize that he's got a chipped tooth. Ah, I have mixed feelings about this. I really do. No, I don't. I can just go and avoid dental work. Hurrah! But I'm leaving myself here in this place with the prospect of dental work. Have I no empathy for myself, even? Man, that's really seriously sociopathic. Wow. No, I think I'm going to see if I can get this taken care of, and he'll be happy to find that he's got a bill for something that he doesn't remember ever having doing. I want it to be over. I want to go home. Well, maybe next week. For now, that's it. I want to thank you for joining me here at this incrementally different universe version of The Diner. I'm James Lilacs, and I'll see you down the road.
Now, this you must do.
Bite me!
Thank you.